Growing up, Mama always said, you never know how you're going to end up. The life you have in the morning may not be the life you have when you go to bed that night. My name is Dionne Lee, and this is The Way I Am Now, the podcast that shares words of wisdom and life lessons through songs and stories. Today you will hear something from The Way I Am Now that you've never heard from us. Fiction. Stories told from actors about a character in a play. What prompts change in a fictional character? That was a question I was charged with by Play On Podcasts, a podcast that produces Shakespeare for today's audiences. Their current production, Pericles, can be found on Apple Podcasts. You can also go to playonshakespeare.org to learn more about Play On Shakespeare. Now, listen. Bad things happen to good people. They do. We all know it's true. It happens all the time. I know when things don't go my way, and that is often. I ask myself, what I did to deserve this? Am I being punished for something I don't know about? I examine my choices and I troubleshoot any and everything I did and said, hoping to correct something, to make a connection. To what? Who knows? Because really, it comes down to your belief system. I think. What do you believe in? God? Spirit? Nothing? Is it luck? Is it fate? In the last year and a half in quarantine, I, like most folks, have had the time to reflect, to really look at my life and focus in on my choices, my decisions, or sometimes the lack of. As I watched what seemed like the world fall apart, I waited for mine to fall apart. I thought, I probably will get the coronavirus. Somebody I know will probably die. Somebody in my life will certainly fall apart, or something in my life will fall to pieces. And really, fortunately, none of that happened. There were things, of course, that had to be addressed, like finances and staying mentally healthy and sound. And of course, the education of my daughters. But that terrifying part, the death, the destruction, the whatever else, horrible things that I imagined could happen, they didn't happen. But why? Why didn't they happen? Why didn't they happen to me? Is it because I am a good person? Is it because I believe in God? And am I, like Moses would say, rich in favor? Or is it just good old-fashioned luck? I hesitated when I was asked to do this podcast. I don't do fiction, I said. Well, as I sat with and listened to today's storyteller, Jenny Greenberry, she plays Marina. The actor in me was reminded that truth is truth. Jenny shares Marina's journey of hope and courage and change through the interpretation of a dream that she wrote. Now, the unanswered questions are, why does this happen to Marina? Why is her life so bad? And we know from listening to the play, the podcast, and for those of you who have read the play, we know that Marina is truly a good person.
So I feel like in Pericles, I feel like in Shakespeare as a whole, a lot of his female characters aren't always given the background and the voice that I think we as people in the 21st century would want them to have, and certainly not me as a woman in the 21st century would want them to have. I'm so interested in the idea of what is happening from Marina's perspective beyond what we see her say in the story. I was really curious to know what she must be feeling after she's been betrayed by the people who are supposed to be taking care of her, after she's endured the trauma of a kidnapping and attempted murder and now being sold into sex slavery. I wondered what her frame of mind would be. I wondered what sort of anchors she might hold on to keep her sanity and to try to keep herself and her heart and her mind and her soul intact. What are the stories she would tell herself? Or in this case, what are the dreams she might have? And so the idea of a recurring dream just kind of stuck out to me as something that might be really useful for Marina to latch onto as something familiar from her childhood that's now come back to her in her time of need. And I just love the idea of the dream shifting from something that was probably really scary to her as a kid into something that's now beautiful and infused with a kind of divine hope, something that would help her to stay grounded in this reality. And I was just really curious what kind of dreams Marina might have and what kind of hope she might hold on to in the midst of such terrible circumstances. So I kind of decided, I just wrote a story, a brief, like a 10-minute, you know, thing. And it's just told from Marina's point of view. And I decided to do it at the point in Pericles where she is still in the brothel. And she's just kind of reflecting on where fate has brought her. And she's wondering where fate will take her to. And she does so through talking about a recurring dream that she keeps having. It was always the same dream when I was a child. In that dream, I would find myself alone at sea, not in a boat, but in a cradle of all things. The day is bright and clear, not a cloud to be seen. Everything is quiet and still. Not even a whisper of breeze is blowing, but somehow, the cradle, in which I barely have room to sit, is moving across the waves at a stunning speed, carried along by some unseen current below. Night after night, I would take this strange ocean voyage in my dreams, always passing by strange islands and wondrous sea creatures along the way. It was strange, though. No matter what I did, the cradle boat wouldn't stop. I desperately wanted to visit all the curious lands and people that I saw just beyond arm's reach for my strange little vessel. But nothing, not any amount of desperate paddling with my arms or even jumping up and down could get the boat to change course. Eventually, I reach what seems to be the end of the sea itself. And there, a great hole in the waves gapes open wide as if to swallow me whole. I always awoke just before falling into those great watery depths. What lay beneath them, I thankfully never found out. My sweet Lycorida would always soothe me after having that particular dream. She would hold me close and stroke my hair as she assured me that the gods were watching over me. And as I was born on the ocean, I certainly didn't have anything to fear from it. My guardian, Cleon, thought differently of the strange dream. He wondered if it wasn't a sign that the gods were surely speeding me along towards my destiny, whatever it may be. His thoughts on the dream weren't entirely surprising, considering how often he could be heard admonishing those of us in his court that we are carried to the various people and places in our life by the tides of fate, and that if one surrenders to that journey, and thus to the will of the gods, you'll always be sure to get where you're meant to go. His wife Dionysa, however, hardly agreed. Upon hearing that, she would always scoff and say that fate wasn't nearly so kind as her misguided husband might suggest. No, she would say. If there are any gentle tides of fate to be sailed on, I haven't known them. I wasn't gently carried to my destiny so much as battered there by harsh gales and merciless storms. Only a fool would expect kindness from fate or from the gods. No, it is we who must row hard towards our aims or else drown and be forgotten altogether. At that, Cleon would always sigh and sadly shake his head. In those moments, he would wait until his careworn wife walked away before putting a kindly arm around me and telling me not to pay heed to her words. When it came to the tides of fate, I often wondered if perhaps both were right in their own way. A person can hardly kick against the current of their own destiny, as Cleon pointed out. But perhaps too, as Dionysus said, it's important to realize one's own strength as fate carries them along, being sure to participate in their own life's journey. This is what I find myself thinking of most often these days. Aware it is I'm going, of where this dark and uncertain path will lead. What more will I see and hear and bear before the gods declare my journey ended? I couldn't stop my own kidnapping. Couldn't detect the murderous intent in the heart of my once beloved guardians until it was too late. I couldn't free myself from the treacherous grasp of the man who meant to kill me. Couldn't escape the menacing, grasping hands of the man who sold me for chattel, nor the hell-bound couple who purchased my very being and shut me away in this dark house to do even darker, soul-crushing deeds. I still dream almost every night, even here in this cramped, musty room in this nightmarish house. And the dream I used to have so often as a child has come back to me now, though it's different from what it used to be. Rather than the ocean gaping wide to swallow me whole, instead, a great wave rises from the sea and wraps around my body. Up, up, up it takes me, twisting and turning, thrusting me into the air until the boat below is no bigger than the seed of a grape from my view. The sinuous wave pushes me along through the sky and clouds, higher and higher to the very edge of the heavens themselves, until great looming cliffs appear, and the wave sets me down on some foreign shore I've never seen. The ground below my feet is of stunning white marble veined with silver, more pure than any precious metal I've ever seen. The air around me is warm and scented with the flowers of my childhood home. Somewhere in the distance, the sweet and gentle strains of a song begin, one I've never heard before. A hauntingly beautiful melody that speaks of a rose that blooms in moonlight. As I close my eyes to listen, a pair of arms suddenly encircles my body, and then another pair does the same. This isn't the rough and careless embrace I've experienced under the hateful watch of Tander and his bod, but one of warmth and one of comfort. It might feel like the arms of my family, if I had any family left to speak of. I try to turn to look at whoever has embraced me, but I can't see their faces. It's as if they're obscured by a strange light, whisper soft as the clouds that surround us. One pair of arms, as dark and rich and smooth as the earth Lycorda once coaxed into bloom in Tarsus, grasps my shoulders and from his hidden mouth declares that he waits for me at sea. "Will you come to me?" he asks. The other pair, soft and tanned and strong, places warm hands on my cheeks and in a tender whisper says that she waits for me at the temple. "I will find you there," she says. And there, the dream always ends. Once it does, I'm always sure to awake with tears in my eyes, though whether the tears are born from great joy or desperate longing, I can never tell. I don't know who the hidden people are in my dream, nor what their words mean. The only thing I know for sure is that this dream must surely be Diana's doing. Though they have long abandoned me to this horrid place, I still keep the words of Cleon and Dionysa in my mind. I won't dare to shake my fist in the faces of the gods for my misfortune, no. As Cleon admonished, I will submit myself to these tides of fate. The gods may have strange ways, but it is not for me to question them. And yet, as Dionysa unwittingly taught me, I won't be so feeble as to let the relentless waves of this present malice drown me. No, I will stay the course and remember who I am. I will remember my heritage and call upon the strength of my mother who gave her life for mine, and the courage of my father who faced many storms and may yet live to tell the tale. The fair goddess of chastity has my vow and surely has heard my prayers. I don't yet know what lies ahead of me, but one thing is certain. I will not fear the storm in which I now find myself. After all, the things we want most dearly in this life often find us after a time of great trial. If this is so, I will gladly face the wind and waves for what will surely be a glorious destiny to come. Diana, hear my prayer.
Faith. Faith leads to triumph. That is what you will hear from Jenny as she takes us through the lyrics of the song Oceans, Where Feet May Fail. Marina's faith, a faith grounded in her belief in God, Diana, and the father that is coming back for her. A fictional story that we can all understand and relate to. Yes, bad things happen to good people. But can there be victory? Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, there can be.
Now, the song that I feel most encompasses Marina's beautiful tale of struggle and faith and triumph is a song called Ocean by a group, Hillsong United. It begins with the lyrics. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in ocean deep. My faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. And you are mine. You know, I think this song means a lot. And I think the next stanza in the song kind of encompasses everything that means so much to me about it. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed. And you won't start now. To a person like Marina, who has been suddenly ripped away from everything she has known and has held dear in this life, and now finds herself in a place that's so dark and filled with so much fear and misery, I think it's this kernel of faith that she holds on to, and the gods above, and her patron goddess Diana, and in the hope and belief that someday, somehow, her father will find her again. So I think she is a person of great faith and holds on to this trust in divinity and this trust in her long lost father, that even though she's in a place that's so hard and filled with so much fear, her father and her gods will not fail her. That gives her the hope to carry on.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jenny, for sharing Marina's journey.
The Way I Am Now is produced by myself and Matthew Engst, underscored by Matthew Engst. Vocals by Dion Lee.
Oceans, written by Matt Crocker, Joel Houston, and Solomon Litham. The executive producers of this episode are Michael Goodfriend and Next Chapter Podcast.
If you're enjoying The Way I Am Now, the podcast, let people know about it. You can follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. Also, if you haven't subscribed already, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thank you.